this is happening, but I can tell you, I've got a God who has seen me in my worst moments, and he rescued me, and he saved me, and he delivered me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't understand how this is happening, but let me just tell you, God is good on his promises. I don't understand how this is happening, but God will carry you when you have no strength, and he will watch over you, and he will protect you from evil, and even when you think hell is on you, see, he's with you. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. So this stuff that you see outside of my life, it's a result of the good God in my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. Good to be at church. I was in the first service and I was thinking about that. I was like, gosh, you know what? I pray that God moves in such a way here that people who are at the liquor store or at Ace Hardware sense, like, I feel something while I'm buying this screwdriver. You know what I'm saying? I feel something while I'm here. I feel something while I'm buying this bottle of Jack Daniels. There's something here, and I pray they come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So thank you for coming to church. Thank you so much. Way to go. I know for some of you, it's been a while since you've been at church, and it's a win that you're here. Hallelujah. I want you to know you are in the center of God's will right now. You are in the center of God's will. God has a word for you, and that's why you're here. Yeah. So I want to thank those of you who are serving. It's so cool seeing new faces serve God, have name tags around you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for stepping up. Thank you for those of you who've been serving for a long time. Thank you, thank you. And thank you for those of you who are giving. Every church is backed by people who've been stirred by God to honor God with their finances. And they give a tithe, which is 10% of the income or an offering. And then they do it. It's a part of their budgeting. And God is so good. You discover the God who provides when you take that kind of faith step. So thank you for those of you who have made that decision. And thank you in advance for those of you who will be making that decision in the future. God is still moving. He is a good God. Hey, if you're just joining us, we're in this series called Fire, and we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last 7 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever it's been, and it started from my sabbatical. I took 2 months off, and I just followed the steps of Paul the Apostle, and I needed a new touch from God. You ever need a new touch from God? That's where I was at, and God is faithful, and God met me, and God made it clear to me. He said, Reuben, the future I have for you requires a greater filling of the Holy Spirit, And I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up in the church. And anytime somebody would talk about the Holy Spirit, it was kind of like this ghost thing. Like, I don't know what this is, but I understand it's part of that Trinity thing, but I don't know, understand what it means. But I have learned so much about the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to say this to you. The future God has for you involves a greater filling of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to do life with God. You need the Holy Spirit to know right from wrong. You need the Holy Spirit to have peace. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you. Your willpower and your personal strength is not enough. It's not enough. You need the Holy Spirit to show you where to go. You have a limited perspective of life. I do as well. But God sees everything in the future. You need the Holy Spirit to give you that strength and to give you that power to overcome temptation, to know the will of God. You need the Holy Spirit. Your good intentions are not enough. They're not enough. So I want you to hear that loud and clear. You're here right now in this church service because God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit at a new level. Who's the Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Spirit? It's the Trinity, part of the Trinity. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. All three persons equally God. There's one God manifested in these three distinct persons. Each person equally God. That is the Trinity. And if you look in the Bible, the Holy Spirit has some titles. Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth. Isn't that a good word? When you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, I've seen it happen so many times. The Spirit of Truth sits on you, and all of a sudden, you have 20/20 biblical vision. You can see yourself through the eyes of God. The things that are confusing become clear. The things that you've been battling, all of a sudden you have this victory. The things that have been disturbing you or making you, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit has a way. When he shows up, everything changes. I wanted to spend time in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start with this passage because it's so practical. And I like the way Paul the Apostle just outlines it. He's writing to these new Christians in this place called Ephesus. And you find him giving this practical advice, and part of it involves the Holy Spirit. So verse 15, he says this, so be careful how you live. Turn to the person next to you and just tell them, be careful how you live. Just tell them, be careful how you live. This is wise advice. We're dropping pearls today, guys. Be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. You know, the Bible says wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So wisdom is knowing there is a living God. There's a creator. Wisdom is knowing that my decisions impact other people and my decisions impact my relationship with God. That's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing I'm going to be accountable to God. Wisdom is knowing that my days and my decisions matter, and I need to be careful, and I need to make sure it's pleasing to God. That's just wisdom. A fool does things and doesn't think about the consequences. A fool, that's what a fool does. Verse 16, then Paul says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And these days, they can be evil, can't they? You know, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who could understand it? And you see stuff on TV or, you know, social media or whatever it is, and you're like, man, this is just horrible. This is just evil days. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. This is just a mic drop verse right here. I love this verse because it's saying, hey, you know what? Before you spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure out what to, before you knock on every door, kick every door, before you chase every rabbit, before you do all that, stop and pray. Before you do that, and ask God, God, what is your will? That's being mindful. That's a wise person. You know how much energy and time you will save if you stop and cry out to God and wait on him. You don't have to spend all that time and energy. And incidentally, as you get older, you have less energy, don't you? And less time as well. And then check it out. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, let's read this part out loud. Let's read that part again one more time because this is a whole message today. Let's go. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul the Apostle is saying, don't get wasted. Don't do that. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand something. This is not a suggestion. This is not a, it would be good if you do this. This is a commandment. It's a commandment. It's in the Word of God. It's a commandment. If you really want to get the most out of life, if you really want to go to your next level, if you really want to experience true victory, if you want to experience true peace, if you want to experience true transformation in the presence of God and know his will, you got to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And then verse 19, he goes on, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great place to be when you recognize the goodness of God in your life. Somebody just told me they needed a new set of tires last service, and they said, you know what, I went to this place, and they happened to have brand new tires, and they just gave them to me, and they told me, isn't God good? And I thought, you know what, he's aware of the goodness of God in his life. Every time I go to Chipotle and I get a parking spot right in front, I'm like, God is so good. I go downtown Denver, and I go eat at a sushi restaurant, there's a parking spot, I'm like, God is so good. Recognize the goodness of God in your life. You're breathing right now. Hello. You're breathing right now. God's grace is over you right now. He's been forgiving and loving and gracious, and he hasn't given up on you. He hasn't treated us according to our sins. That's what Psalm 103 says. His mercies are new every day. Thank you, Lord. Today, the title of the message is The Evidence. The Evidence. So we've been looking at how to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and today we're going to look at how do you know? How do you know if you're full of the Holy Spirit? I want to say this. There should be a difference between someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit and someone who is not. Don't you agree with that? There should be a difference with someone who is possessed by the Holy Spirit and someone who's not. It's like before I came to know Jesus, when I didn't go to church all the time, and I know that might be hard for you to believe, but there was a day I did not for a long time. But I remember I would hear people tell me, like, they go to church, and there were times when I was surprised. I'm like, you go to church? I would not have guessed that. I hear you cuss all the time. I see how you make decisions. I see you lie. I see you cheat. I see the other side of you, and you go to church? In my mind, I thought, well, somebody who should go to church, they should be a little bit different than everybody else. And I want to say, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, the way you live should be different from someone who's not full of the Holy Spirit. February 8, 2023, I want to start with this story. There was a revival in this place called Asbury University. Anybody remember this story? Back in February 2023. And during that time, it started off with, they have these mandatory chapel services. For those of you who went to a Christian university or college, you know there's mandatory chapel services, which is way cool, right? Anyway, so they went and started off, and the preacher, I was listening to this whole podcast, the preacher, he did okay. That's what he said. He said, I did okay. And in fact, after the message was over, he was thinking, I just want to go home. I want to hang out with my woman, and I want to sleep, and I'm tired, kind of thing. So he was not expecting anything, but the Holy Spirit decided to show up. After the service was over, there were 19 college students, Gen Zers, woohoo, Gen Zers. Isn't it beautiful how God is working? I just wanted to say I'm included in the Gen Z. Anyway, so these 19 Gen Zers go down to the front after the service is over, and they're not done. They pray, and a couple of the people on the worship team decided to stay, and they're worshiping, and there's 19 students there that are just crying out to God. They want the Holy Spirit in their life. 19 of them, just a few of them. Well, that goes on for an hour, and it goes on for 2 hours, and it goes on for 3 hours, and four other college students see what they're doing. And then they run across campus knocking on doors saying, God is doing something special at chapel. You got to come. So little by little, people start showing up and being a part of this. And then they say, hey, let's keep worshiping. People start confessing their sins publicly. People start crying out to God saying, Holy Spirit, fill me. And all of a sudden, it became 100 and 200 and 500 and 1,000. Next thing you know, they have this situation on their hands where chapel service has been going on now for 4 or 5 hours. Well, you know, when things like that happen, our natural human nature is like, well, it should be done by now. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, service should be done. It started at 11. I don't know what we're doing. We just think like that. But the president of the university did a phenomenal thing. He said, let it go. God might be doing something new. Wow, that took some courage, right? That affected school class schedules and other things. He said, let it go. That thing continued to be. When they saw that email from the president, you know what those students, God bless these Gen Zers, these students in the chapel service did? You know what they did? They ran to their dorms and they got their mattresses, their bed mattresses, and drug them to the chapel service, and they put them down, said, we're sleeping here all night. We're going to be worshiping here all night. The next generation is looking for an authentic worship, an authentic encounter. Isn't that beautiful? Check it out. What would happen if after this service I said, we're just going to keep going and stay here? I know. Hang with me. I'm trying to start this fire. Hang in with me. Hang with me. So check it out. So they start going and going. This thing goes on for a total of 16 days, day and night, 24 hours, 16 days. The Holy Spirit comes down. There's a total of 50 to 70,000 people that fly in and drive from all over the world. People from Harvard and Yale, all students from other colleges. People are coming into this little place in Wilmore, Kentucky with two traffic lights because they have a craving to know God and experience His presence. People are parking in the front yards, on sidewalks. There's no place. The infrastructure can't handle it. They have to bring in porta potties because plumbing is an issue. All of a sudden, everything changes. And they're crying out to God, and it's just genuine. There was one guy, he's a Grammy Award winning musician and artist. Grammy Award. He plays the keyboards. And he showed up to the worship team and he said, "Hey, I can help out." And these Gen Zers don't know him. I guess it's from another generation. They don't know him. So they said, "Oh, cool." And they put him on the cajon, the box cajon. And his job was to keep a beat. That was his job. And he's like, "I can do more if you want." And I said, "No, your job is just to keep a beat." Like, "I can, yeah, I got to, you know, no, you just keep the beat." And he's like, "All right, here's my job." They had no idea who he was. They had no idea. And then it dawned on him, and the people, the worship was described as clunky. It was not polished. It was not perfect. But it dawned on him while he was playing this cajon that it wasn't about any celebrity pastors or worship leaders or our talent, and the Holy Spirit was the one who was in the spotlight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was just authentic worship. One of the guys that was there, he's a basketball player on a scholarship, and he was there because his girlfriend wanted to be there. His girlfriend was a Christian. He wasn't. So he was showing up to church just to be with his girlfriend, and they were giving, like, fast pass stuff to, like, the Gen Zers to show up, which is beautiful. So he's there, and let me just say, I know some of you men are here only because your woman dragged you to church, or you're working her, and you're hoping to get married to her, or whatever it is. God knows who you are. Ladies, use your influence for good and not for evil. Let me just say it like that. Pointing to God. All right, that's a little pitch there. Anyway, so he's there, and something happens in the middle of the service. This dude who is not a Christian, and he just likes playing ball, he accepts Jesus in the service. So he's now like a 30-minute Christian. I mean, he just accepts Jesus, and he's walking out of chapel, and there's lines. You know, there's lines outside, and people are waiting to get in, and you can see the picture. There's lines, and he's walking by, and there's this other dude who he doesn't know, and he's sitting in a wheelchair, and he has these bumps all over his face from an illness. I mean, visible bumps all over his face. And this basketball dude, 30-minute-old Christian, he looks at him, and he says, "I heal you in the name of Jesus." The bumps on the face go away immediately. He gets out of the wheelchair and he walks into chapel. I know I lost some of you. God is still doing miracles. And they asked another preacher, "How did that happen?" And that other preacher said, "That brother just didn't know any better. He was a 30-minute Christian. He just didn't know any better." When you walk with God for a long time or you get older, you know what we do? We have a checklist of what God needs to do first before. These things need to happen first before. You know what I'm talking about? These things have to happen. And when these things happen first, then this happens. And we have this list. Oh, I got to get a new job, and I got to get this, and I got to get a girl. I got to get a guy. I got to get more money. I need to get a ride. All this list. I got to do all these things. These things have to happen first, and then the miracle happens. And I know some of you came to church, and you're like, "Oh, I just need more money. If I had more money, oh, I just need a woman. I just need a guy. I just need a better job. I just need a better situation. I just need whatever it is." And I want you to hear this. All you need is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a game changer. God can change everything. It's about starting with you. It's about starting with you. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're spiritually revived. That's a Bible word. You know what revived means in Hebrew? It means this: to live or make alive? To live or make alive? I know there's some reasons, motivations for coming to church. Sometimes it's, man, my marriage is not doing well, or I'm in a dark place, or I'm working through something that's just hard, and that's all cool. I want you to know, God wants to revive you today. That's why you're here in this service right now. He wants to revive you with his Holy Spirit. When someone is revived, that word right there, it's this idea of you used to be spiritually confused or spiritually dormant or used to be spiritually indifferent or spiritually apathetic. And you used to just be at that place where spiritually you just really didn't care. You had your own box of beliefs or your own box of do's and don'ts or whatever it is. You have your own box of who you think God is or whatever it is. You're just spiritually at that place. But when the Holy Spirit fills you, you're changed. All of a sudden, there's something that happens on the inside of you. You have new desires. You have new passions. It's like, I want to spend time in God's word every single day now. I need God's word before I eat breakfast, before I have my coffee, before I have lunch, before I put any food. I need to hear from God. You have this new desire inside of you to seek the presence of God. You're like, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to cry out to him because I want to sense his presence. God, I need to hear a word from you. You have this new desire to get right with God. You recognize, you see yourself, and you're like, okay, I got to get right with God, and I'm going to confess my sins to God, and I'm going to repent from my sins, and I'm going to turn to him, because nothing else matters except being right under the eyes of God. You have a new desire to be used by God. Like, I'm going to share my faith with everybody. I'm going to share my faith at the bus stop, and I'm going to share my faith at the office, and I'm going to share my faith with my neighbor, because God's done so much in my life. How can I keep it for myself? I got to tell others about him. You have a new desire to please God even with your thought life. You know God sees your thoughts, and all of a sudden you want to make sure your thoughts are honoring and pure before the eyes of God. You have a new desire to please God with the words that come out of your mouth. You have a new desire, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, don't you say that. Don't you say that. You better not say that. And you have a new desire to say, God, tame my tongue. Give me self-control. I want to please you. I want to live a life of obedience. You have a new desire to get baptized. You have a new desire to serve the church. You see the church differently now. You see it as a church. Jesus is the head of the church. It's his primary conduit to redeem the world that's been going on for 2,000 years. It's going to outlast the place you work. And you have a new desire to go to church. And you show up early. You're like, I want to worship God. I owe him everything. That's my favorite part. I want to worship God. I want to praise him with my mouth. I want to praise him with my breath. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You have a new desire to live for him. And you're like, God, what do you see in my life that I need to let go? Just tell me what needs to. I want to make sure nothing is coming between you and my, and you and your favor for my life. You and the blessings of my life. You and your, my presence for life. I want to get closer to you. And if there's anything in my life that's a barrier to that, I want to get rid of it. It's a new desire. That's what happens when you're full of the Holy Spirit. You're different. Revival. I love this definition by an old preacher. Revival is the acceleration and intensification of the normal work of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens with revival. It's like things happen, when you look at the life of someone who is far from God, and that was me, one of the things God showed me early on, this is before I started going to church, one of the first things God showed me was, he's a real God. He's a living God. He's an all-seeing God. I can tell you stories about how he showed that to me. I didn't know the Holy Spirit. I didn't have a relationship with God. But something happened in my life, and God said, Reuben, I saw that. And I'm like, who are you? And he made it clear to me that he is God. That was the first thing he did. And then the next thing he showed me is he showed me myself. He showed me myself. I spiritually came to my senses. And I looked at myself through my own eyes. Through God's eyes, rather, not my eyes, through God's eyes. And I recognized there were things in my life that were not pleasing to God. My decisions impacted my relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit works like that. And when someone comes and eventually they give their life to Jesus. That's the best decision you can make today. Give your life to Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. That's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross for you, and you can have a relationship with God. That's what that's about. So you make that decision. Eventually, the Holy Spirit stirs your heart and says, you better give your life over. You better give your life over. He needs to be Lord of your life. You make that decision. And then the next step is, okay, I need to get baptized. So eventually, the Holy Spirit stirs you. And then eventually, the Holy Spirit tells you, you need to serve. You need to forgive. You need to give. You need to worship. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit starts stirring your heart. You need to make that change in your life. You need to walk away from that relationship. The Holy Spirit does all those things. And revival is the intense acceleration and intensification of all of these things. In the church setting, there's more baptisms. There's more people attending the church. There's more conversions, more stories of transformation, more miracles, more faith sharing, more repentant hearts, and more passionate worship. That's what happens in the church setting. That's how a revival. So it starts in your personal life, and it bleeds over to everyone, and all of a sudden the church is caught on fire where these individuals have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and it changes the atmosphere of the entire church. Changes the atmosphere. Here at Thorn Creek, in the last 7 weeks, we've had 80-plus people accept Jesus Christ into their life. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. When I see people standing up, guys, I get so teary-eyed. It just blows me away. I'm so humbled about that. We've had 900-plus people stand up to receive the Holy Spirit in their life in the last 7 weeks. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is moving in this church. The Holy Spirit is moving in this church, and he's changing lives. If you say yes to the Holy Spirit, you start off with Jesus, and then you say, Holy Spirit, fill me. It will change your home. It'll change your life. It'll change your situation. It'll change your work life. You'll have a different happiness about you. You'll have a different joy. Let's jump into this. What does it look like to be full of the Holy Spirit? Galatians chapter 5 says a lot about it. First thing I want to see this is NASB says it like this, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Say, walk by the Spirit with me. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Interesting, he uses this phrase, walk by the Spirit. Walking means is like it's like one step at a time. This is walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. It's not running. Did I juke out the camera? Oh, they went to the wide shot. Look at that. That's not fair. Walking by the Spirit is one step at a time. Every step matters to my God. I want to make sure I please God with my step. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my steps. That means I don't know the future, but I know he's with me right now, and that's enough. Hallelujah. I'm not going to worry about the future. Here's what I'm going to worry about. I'm just going to walk by the Spirit. Let me save you some anxiety right now. Your life will be much better when you come to grips with this truth. You are the project. It's not about that destination. It's not even about that job or that goal. And all those things may happen, but your future's in the hands of God. You are the project. He wants you to learn to be faithful right here. He wants you to learn to trust him right here. And too many times we can become consumed with the future, and it robs us from the faithfulness of today. It robs us from the faithfulness of today. verse 17. Now Paul, he's talking to these Christians in Galatia. He says, the sinful nature, what's the sinful nature? The sinful nature is what we have inherited from our spiritual grandparents named Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. When they fell and they sinned, she took a bite and she said, you want some? And he said, all right, if you give me, and all that whole thing. And they felt that sin entered the world, and all of humanity's born with this sinful nature. Okay? So he's saying the sinful nature wants to do evil which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Remember, the Spirit comes available to all believers, all those who are born again, and it happens in Acts chapter 2. That's Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit comes down. Now everybody has access and you can experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this verse right here tells us there's two different battles going on. There's two different desires. The sinful nature wants to do evil, but the Holy Spirit is just the opposite. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. That is why when you have the sinful nature desires going on over here, and you're like, okay, but I want to do this, or I want to be this person, and you're not, you know what you say? You know what? God knows my intentions. I can't do it, but you know what? I'm going to judge myself based on my intentions. God knows why I don't fill in the blank. God knows why I don't. God knows why I can't. You know what? Me and God, we have our own relationship that's different from everybody else. He understands why I don't. So then you start judging yourself by your intentions. And that's a dangerous, slippery road, guys. Last verse in the book of Judges said everybody did what was right in his own eyes. That's where you can go. So here, Paul the Apostle is saying, check it out. You got the sinful nature and you got the Holy Spirit. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Verse 18, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. That's about freedom right there. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature. So here it is, just in case you're wondering, what's driving me? It's either the sinful nature or it's the Holy Spirit. Everyone in this room is driven by one of these two forces. Here's what it looks like if you're driven by your sinful nature. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, that's sex outside of a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. Impurity, lustful pleasures. You can't stop looking. You keep looking. You're an incognito all the time. Idolatry. And you know, before we move on, I think idolatry, we can say, like, I don't worship a statue. But you can worship other things. Men, you can worship a woman, right? You could worship money. You could worship a career. You could worship a car. I have an FJ Cruiser. Just want you to know that. I don't know why I said that. Let's move on. Sorcery. That's like when you're looking for answers outside of God's will. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Lord, help us. When the Holy Spirit is not in control of your life, you're selfish, you're self-centered, you're hard on others, you don't see your faults, you don't see your weaknesses, you don't see your pride, you don't see your arrogance, you lack self-awareness, you love money, you're always counting what you've lost and how much it cost, you're a taker, you enjoy fighting and arguing, you lust, your thoughts are evil, you have anger problems and you won't admit it, you enjoy getting drunk, and you have other issues, sexual moral problems. That's what it means to let the sinful nature control you. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. He's talking about spiritual hypocrites. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. Isn't it cool how simple Jesus is? A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. So Jesus is saying your fruit exposes your root. It's the same thing we just read in Galatians. Basically, this idea of what's happening on the inside will eventually be seen on the outside. If the sinful nature, if you're not driven, if God is not your God and the Holy Spirit is not controlling you, the Holy Spirit's not transforming, guess what? People will see it on the outside and just look at your actions and know who you are on the inside. If they have spiritual eyes, they can see that. Here's the problem. Some of you are a bad tree trying to produce good fruit. It's normal. And you think, okay, I'm going to use my own willpower. I'm gonna try not to cuss. I'm gonna try not to drink so much. I'm gonna try not to do this. I'm gonna try this. And maybe even after a church service, you're like, okay, I'm good. I'm gonna try to be patient. I'm gonna try to be loving. And maybe you're good for 30 minutes, or maybe between here and the car. I don't know. And you're good. But you know what? Come Wednesday, you're like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. There's a proverb. I thought about this, and I thought about how one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. And it came to my mind when I was working on this message this week. I thought, some people are hard to love. Do you know that? Some people are just, they're hard to forgive, right? Some people are hard to love. Some people are challenging people to love. I'm saying that as gracious as I can. There is a proverb that says, familiarity breeds contempt. Have you ever heard that? These words are not in the Bible, but you see it as an example in the Bible many, many times. The idea behind this is the more you know someone or something, the more likely you are to lose respect or appreciation for. This idea of proximity, it's like this idea of, you know what, I'm with you all the time. We live in the same house. Or we work together all the time. Or we're at church all the time. Or we hang out all the time. And after a while, when you're with someone for a long time, those things that you find endearing are now annoying. And you start noticing all the flaws. You start noticing all the things. And you're like, are you going to be chewing like that all the time? I'm just wondering. Are you going to put your hair on the shower wall all the time? Is this going to be a new thing? Is this thing, it used to be funny when you would occasionally fart. Now it's disgusting. Are we done with this yet? Are you going to be swallowing the coffee like that all the time? I'm just tired of you hearing you sip that thing. And all these little things, we start noticing the flaws. The interesting thing about that is we don't notice our own flaws. It's always easier to notice other people's flaws. Have you figured that out yet? It's always easier to notice, and like you lack self-awareness and that kind of thing. So you lose this value for them because they're around so much, and you could even take them for granted. You could even take them for granted. What a thought that they're still with you. I'll talk to you, married people. That they said I do, and they're still fighting it. They're still working. Marriages work. We do it in our relationships all the time. We do it. There was this guy in high school. I'm not going to tell you his name just in case he looks at this YouTube video. But anyway, so every time in high school, and he and I played football together, and when he would say hello, it was like this, yo, just like this with two fingers, yo. And that was his thing. He was saying, hey, what's up, brother? Yo. He would do like all the time. And at first I thought, that's pretty cool. And after a while, I was like, this is sick, man. Dude, what are you doing, man? And eventually, I called him out on it. That's my personality, if you don't know that. And then I thought, horrible. I felt this big. I'm like, why did you do that, Reuben? You didn't need to do that. Come on. This is why marriages can be hard, right? Grace and I have been married for 32 years or something, and it's still hard. It's still hard. She has to put up with me, and I know I can be hard sometimes. I can be weird, and we both can be hard at times and weird. And we both need the grace of God. But I've discovered we all go through different seasons too. Marriage is involved in a lot of different seasons. Empty nest is a real thing, right? Empty nest when my kids are old enough and they're just gone. Empty nest. I thought about this a little bit, and I thought, you know, in the Bible, Jesus met this. Jesus, the people of Nazareth said, who's that guy? A prophet is not welcome in his hometown. They said, I know his parents. He's the son of a carpenter. It's not anything special about him. And as a result, there weren't a lot of miracles done because they were familiar with him. They were familiar with him. Hear this. Your sinful nature compels you to be hard on others and easy on yourself. And this doesn't matter. You can be a Christian and you can be hard on others. Jesus said, what are you doing? Paying attention to the speck in their eyes when you got a 2x4 in your own eye. But you ignore what's happening with you. You can be hard on others, and Christians can do this as well, and easy on yourself. Let's go back to this verse. Don't be drunk with wine, but because that will ruin your life. Don't be wasted. Instead, be filled. Say, be filled with me. Be filled. Those two words right there in the original Greek language. Here it is. We're going to geek out just a little bit. And those two words mean this: to be continually filled or be kept full. So the idea behind be filled is it's not a one-time event. It's a continuous event. In other words, it's happening now and it continues to happen every day. That's what it means. This is like your car. How many times do you got to charge it up or you got to put in gas? You got to keep it going, don't you? It's not a one-time event. Same thing in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's every day saying, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, I need you. It's a daily prayer. Holy Spirit, fill me. It's a daily prayer. Here's the situation. You have a hard time loving every day when you're not full of the Holy Spirit every day. That's why. So it's really hard to love like consistently every day when you only stood up once. It's this, okay, I need the Holy Spirit every single day. Every single day has its own battles, doesn't it? Every single day, there's high days and low days, there's challenges. You need the Holy Spirit all the time. Here's the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to know you're full of the Holy Spirit, here's another way you can tell. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Let me just stop there. The Holy Spirit is the produce maker there. The Holy Spirit is the one who's producing. You are not the one who's mustering up this stuff. It's not you mustering it up. It's not your strength. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, inside us. Love. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, when everybody's throwing rocks, you love. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, when everybody else is holding a grudge, you forgive. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're willing to send that text or make that call. It's different. It's so cool in this church. It's happened twice now where I've had people come to church and they've been so moved in this church and the Holy Spirit is transforming them in such a way that they have this new love inside of them. And it's happened twice now where they come and they said, they're married to someone and they come to me and they said, hey, you know, my husband, today I brought my ex to church with me. Isn't that cool? I brought my ex to church. And you know why they are doing that? Because they want them to know the love of God. And there's something inside of them that has been transformed and changed. And they have the love of God living inside of them. It's transformational. Joy. Thank you, Lord. You know, when you're broken, it's hard to laugh. When you have anger inside of you, it's hard to laugh. You figured that out? When you're wounded, it's hard to laugh. But the Holy Spirit heals. The Holy Spirit heals. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is all something that's happening inside of you. It's natural. It just flows out. It's not about you trying, it's about you surrendering. You got to hear that. It's about you yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's about you dying to yourself. And when you say, fill me, and I'm not going to hold on to anything, and may your will be done, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit has this production factory inside of you, and he starts generating these things. So this stuff just comes out naturally, and other people are looking at you and thinking, what's with you? You're different. you used to be, but now you're different. And it's because the Holy Spirit is producing something new inside of you. You have new fruit. I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer's quote. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is a gift of God. It is. Thank you, Lord. Scripture says the Holy Spirit is the guarantor. The Holy Spirit assures us of our salvation. The fruit of the Spirit is a gift of God, and only the Spirit can produce it. You hear that? They who bear it know as little about it as the tree knows of its fruit. Because it's natural. It just comes out. They know only the power of Him, that's the Holy Spirit, on whom their life depends. So there's this idea of, you know what? I can tell you, yeah, I don't know this whole fruit thing. I mean, I love and I'm patient and I'm kind and I'm gentle and I have a self-control. I don't know how all that is happening, but let me just tell you, I have a God who is faithful. I have a God who's never let me down. I can just tell you, God has forgiven me for my sins. I can tell you, I don't understand how this is happening, but I can tell you, I've got a God who has seen me in my worst moments, and He rescued me, and He saved me, and He delivered me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't understand how this is happening, but let me just tell you, God is good on His promises. I don't understand how this is happening, but God will carry you when you have no strength, and He will watch over you, and He will protect you from evil, and even when you think hell is on you, see, He's with you. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. So this stuff that you see outside of my life, it's a result of the good God in my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what happens when you learn to depend and rely on the Holy Spirit. You focus on the love of God. And you know what? The love of God is overwhelming. The love of God is overwhelming. You wrap your arms around the love of God, you'll have a new desire to be obedient to God. Lord, help me. You wrap your arms around the love of God, you're gonna run into the arms of God. You wrap your arms around the love of God, you're going to be quick to fall on your knees and ask for forgiveness. You wrap your arms around the love of God, you won't worry anymore, because you know He loves you so much. And if He can take care of the birds, He'll take care of you. You wrap your arms around the love of God. You wrap your arms around the love of God, it'll change your view of church. It'll change your view of everything. It'll change everything. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Paul goes on to say, he goes, hey, check it out. Here's the secret sauce. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Wow. I'm gonna nail this sexual immorality here. I'm gonna nail this bad temper here. I'm gonna nail this greed here. I'm gonna nail this pride here. I'm gonna nail all of these things, this arrogance and drunkenness and whatever it is. I'm gonna nail it to the cross. What happens when you nail it? It dies. I'm not gonna let this thing live inside of me anymore. I'm gonna put it on the cross. I'm gonna nail my passions and desires. What are passions and desires? Why does Paul use the word passions and desires? We are creatures of desire. What do you spend money on? Where do you go? What are your experiences? Many of it is driven by desire, right? Who are you with? It's all about desire. Where do you go? When you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, you have new desires, desires that the Holy Spirit gives you, desires to please God, desires to be obedient to God, desire to be faithful, desire to know the will of God, desire for the pleasure of God, desire for God's mercy over you. You have new desires, desires to love, all of those things. Verse 25, I'm gonna end it here. Paul says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us, let's read this out loud, keep in step. Turn to the person next to you and just tell them, keep in step. Keep in step. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Any military people out here? You guys, any military people out there, brother? I was in the Air Force Reserves, and I remember, you know, after they shave your head, they teach you how to walk, right? and there's this walk, you know, right? You know what I'm talking about? There's this walk. it starts off with left, you know, you kind of do that whole thing. But you know what? There was a command with the whole squad that we all learned. And the command, I don't remember the command. You might remember it, brother. But it was a command to get everyone back in step. Because when you get out of step, it just, everybody's doing this. So the command was like, you know, and everybody did that. Like just, what is it, brother?
Change step.
That's right, change step. So anytime when somebody would say, they'd say, you know, when we just started doing that, it's a change step, and it was kind of like that, or something like a little skip. You know why we needed that? Because you can fall out of step. When it comes to your relationship with God, the other side of this verse is this. You can get out of step of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it starts off with sin or pleasure or whatever it is. I don't think we ever choose like consciously, like today I'm gonna get out of step. I don't think we do that. You know, C.S. Lewis said the road to hell is a gradual slope with no sudden turnings. And I think we can get out of step and we're like, man, I used to be in step, but it's been a long time now and I don't hear God anymore. I used to be in step. I used to serve or I used to, man, I spent time with him or I used to think God had a plan and I used to have a call, whatever it is. And we can get out of step. Sometimes we allow people to get us out of step. We're hurt, wounded, whatever it is. And we're like, man, they called themselves a Christian. I can't believe mom did this, dad this, or coach, whatever it is. And we kind of look at them and we're like, oh, we get distracted by them. And sometimes it's our schedule. We have so much in our life and we can be going and going and going and going and we lose a priority of church and God and all that stuff. But Paul is saying, make sure you keep in step with the Spirit. It's a conscious choice. God, what is your will? I'm trusting you to walk with me every single step. What do you want in my life, God? I want to please you. Remember, it's a filling and a continual filling. It happens and it continues to happen. It's a daily choice. It's God, speak to me in your word. Do whatever you want inside of me. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity. Some of you, your first step is to invite Jesus into your heart. You came to church. God has, through the power of his Holy Spirit, has stirred your heart and has brought you to church. Hallelujah. And you came. Way to go. This is a good place for you to search out and investigate Christianity, discover his love. Others of you, maybe you came here. And let me just say this. I wholeheartedly believe God wants to revive you. That means if your faith, you came to church this morning and it's right here, he wants to take it up here. If your surrender is right here, he wants you to. If you find yourself here and this is where you're at in your passion, he wants to take you up here. And he wants to fill you this morning in such a way that you walk out with more of the Holy Spirit living inside of you than when you came in. That involves that whole dying of yourself, guys. And I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to do that right now. I know you got problems, and let me just tell you, the answer to those problems starts with you surrendering yourself to the Holy Spirit, surrendering yourself to the will of God, and letting God do his work inside of you first. And he'll take care of everything else. All right, so let's do this, guys. You ready? Only do this if you mean it. Only do it if you mean it. You ready? Time to be obedient to God. If you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life, you want to become a Christian today, you're in good company, would you stand up really quickly? Stand up really quickly. You want to become a Christian today. Is there anybody in the house who wants to accept life? Jesus? Oh, we got one brother. Look at my brother. Hallelujah. The fist bump right there, brother. Right on. Hallelujah. Stay standing up for a second. I'm going to have everybody stand up here. Anybody else want to accept Jesus into their life? You broke down a wall, brother. Way to go, man. That takes a lot of courage, brother. You broke down a wall. Oh, man. Oh, you make me cry. I got to stop looking at you. Those of you who call yourself a Christian, you want more of the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to revive you. Thank you. Right there, sister. I'm with you. Stand up really quickly. You want the Holy Spirit to revive you. You want more. Holy, holy, holy are you, Almighty God. And I just thank you for your presence. I give you glory. Thank you. I acknowledge your presence, Holy Spirit. I thank you for the way you're moving in this church. And I want to pray for my brother first. And if there's anybody else, you're ready to receive Jesus, say this prayer. Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for your love for me. I want to become a Christian right now. Teach me to walk with you. Teach me to live for you. Speak to me. I give you my past, present, and future. Others of you have stood up and you said you want more of the Holy Spirit. You can just say this. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Just say it out loud. Just say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, revive me. Make that your prayer. You can just say that out loud too. Lord, today we're going to nail the passions and desires from our sinful nature to a cross. Today we're going to say, fill me. And every day, because we need your Holy Spirit every single day. Would you work a miracle in our homes, work a miracle in our marriages, work a miracle with our children, work a miracle with our work situation, work a miracle with all the relationships we have, work a miracle with our bodies. Oh, Holy Spirit, revive us, which means to live or live again. Resurrect every soul right now. I pray we walk out different. I pray we have a new level for living for you. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for his goodness. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.